Ocean FM. Fáilte isteach go Arts North West, broadcasting from the Glens Arts Centre in Manor Hamilton, with myself, Brendan Murray, and Mark Gavin on sound. Later on, we'll be chatting with Maeve McGowan from the Hawkswell. The Blue Raincoats Theatre Company in Sligo, I think it would be fair to say, has been one of the seminal theatre ensembles in the development of theatre in Ireland. And when I say development of theatre in Ireland, I suppose we're traditionally known for our oral tradition. And I suppose in the last 30 years or so, but there's been a huge greater emphasis on the physicality in theatre and how it reflects our stories as a nation. And most theatre schools and colleges would put a huge emphasis on that that might not have been there heretofore. I'm delighted to welcome two members of Blue Raincoats, John Carty and Sandra O'Malley, to this week's show. And first of all, congratulate you both on the 30th anniversary of the Blue Raincoats.
Thank you very much, Brendan.
Thanks, Brendan. We survived.
Yes, and not many ensembles do. So I'm going to pick you up there on that. How have you survived?
One of the things that, to me, was kind of fundamental to survival was the fact that we acquired the factory performance space very early on in our history. And even in by the second year, we had it. Now, it's gone through a couple of different stages of renovation since then, thankfully. But the fact that we had a home to come to and to base ourselves, to me, and a theatre space in which we could rehearse in, whenever we wanted, I suppose, was fundamental to keeping us together in my mind at the beginning. And then after that, it was the continued rejuvenation, I suppose, of our abilities. Because from speaking personally, I came into it, and although I had trained in Trinity in the Samuel Beckett Centre, I continued my training when I was in Blue Raincoat because I was introduced to new forms of training and new disciplines that furthered my abilities and furthered my interest and kept me going. And also, I suppose, also the level and the kind of adventurousness and spirit, that spirit was in the company. And
if I were to ask you, could you define that spirit?
I think it comes down to the idea of experimentation through physicality, I suppose. And that comes down to the fact that a number of us went off and trained in a certain physicality, which then created a language within the company, which then was, and the training was very specific, and it is actor's training, but it is a highly disciplined form called corporal mime, which is a great form of expression within its own right. But when mixed then with words, and also with, I suppose at the time, because going back a number of years, Malcolm Hamilton was also writing some beautiful lyrical plays that complemented in many ways the learning of the movements that we were creating, and so that symbiotic relationship worked very well.
Sandra, where did you train, for example, that got you interested in this particular form of theatre?
Yeah, well, so I suppose to start out early days, when I first docked into Sligo and worked as a waitress in Truffles Restaurant, all of back in the day in the 90s, I met the boys from Blue Raincoat. The company had been going just about under a year at that point. And I became interested, I suppose, in theatre then. And it so happened that Corinne Soom, whom Niall had trained under in the Marcel School in Paris, he invited her to Sligo to teach a workshop. So I took part in the work shops, never having sort of delved into theatre before. And it just kind of, I had a very strong feeling about it. And I trained with Corinne Soom and Steve Watson, the last assistants of, I suppose, what you would call the father of mime. They had just moved their school from Paris to London. I started working a little part-time for Blue Raincoat as production manager and stage manager, and then viewing a few of the plays for the next couple of years from side stage. That kind of just gripped me, if you like.
And well, because it's not an easy thing. The type, no profession is easy, but the particularly the type of theatre that Blue Raincoat do, it is so disciplined. So yes, that takes correct. A lot of ambition and determination.
Well, that's it. And I mean, the training that I did has stood by me, and I continue to train as often as I can, you know, with Corinne. And I've gone on to sort of teach other actors as well. You know, that discipline is part of my life. And in terms of what Johnny and yourself were chatting about, you know, the sort of movement, if you like, or the language of Blue Raincoat is very much based on movement. So that if we have played internationally, if we didn't even speak or the audience members didn't understand the English language, we should hope that they would be able to understand the play from what they see.
I remember the first production, Blue Raincoat production I saw was Alice in the Town Hall Theatre in Galway, going back a long time ago. And yeah, it was an eye opener, and it was exciting.
That was the original
yes,
Alice.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
David Heap in as the Mock Turtle. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. This was like, wow, this is.
Yeah,
this
it was a very physical show that was kind of using kind of sort of nearly circus in a way.
Yes.
And elements of circus, but everything was based, you know what I mean, I suppose through the corporal mime training would have been kind of at the basis of the language of that as well, you know?
And your artistic director Niall Henry, it'd be fair to say he was the main driver behind all of this, and
I suppose still is to this day.
And where did all this, like, Sligo between yourselves and Niall Henry and, say, Michael Murphy and Kieran Carty,
Macaulay.
Yeah. There are, you know, this link that was created, or this
seeds to
study in corporeal theatre in France.
Murphy's years ago, I mean, years and years ago, we keep going backwards, but myself, Niall, and Murph, and Ursula Smullen, who's a director in the Sligo Drama Circle, and would have had a little mime company called the Black Box Mime Company, because we would have done mime as part of the Fesh growing up, you know, and Niall was the driver of this, but we did kind of two mime shows when we were the age of 16 and 17 in the Hawkswell, booked out the Hawkswell as well too, and did two mime shows over the period of 2 or 3 years, can't remember exactly, but that was kind of like, you know, all white faced with the kind of the red lines, like more like Marceau mime, you know, and Niall went off to Marceau. And he came back, he was asked back to come back a couple of years after finishing Marceau by Malcolm Hamilton. Malcolm Hamilton went and dragged him back. Malcolm essentially wanted a vehicle in many ways to write plays. And he says, in order to do that, I need someone to actually, you know, to steer the ship for me. And Malcolm was a fundamental and is still a fundamental member of the company, and was a huge force in terms of its sustainability through funding and through also through his writing, which was created some amazing plays over the years.
For sure, yeah. So, when Blue Raincoat go abroad, and like, are people, do you think there's a certain, like, this is an Irish theatre company, and yet they're working in this European based kind of style, for want of a better.
It's kind of it depends. I mean, if you going back again, maybe Sandra can talk about this. Is for a number of years we were going abroad. We used to go to Scotland regularly, and hopefully will again. But for example, we were bringing the Flann O'Briens. We did three of Flann O'Brien plays back to back, really. Practically anyway. And Sandra would have been the lead in all of them. So they were an Irish writer, I suppose, rather than playwright. And they were adapted by Jocelyn Clark. They were never really Irish as such. Do you know what I mean? It was using that Irishness, but it translated because of the, I suppose, the physical approach sometimes of the plays. And then, another time we were touring and we brought a couple of Ionesco plays to
Romania
and Bulgaria. Now, it was quite amazing in a way, because basically you're bringing sand back to the Arabs.
Indeed.
And so, which was extraordinary. And to me, that was one of the great memories of touring Bulgaria and Romania with those two plays, which was The Bald Soprano, The Chairs. And we toured extensively in both countries at the same time. And what was fascinating for us was the fact, apart from the beautiful, beautiful theatres that we were able to play in, was the fact that, and theatre is so rich in those countries, you wouldn't believe, that we were playing, for example, The Bald Soprano, which Ionesco set in an English setting. And they were amazed to see an Irish stroke English company present a work that they found kind of sort of hard to access in a way, because they were kind of slightly removed from that Englishness. And they thought that we were a bit closer to it, and thought that our representation of it was something that they were very interested to see. That was a fascinating sort of, because we got to meet each theatre had a theatre company attached to it as well. And so it was fascinating to be able to meet those people and to talk to them about something that they knew very well, an awful lot about.
For sure. And Sandra, and I'm certainly not looking for any sort of telltales or anything, but how was it being, you know, a female working in it's like most industries, it's male dominated, although that is thankfully changing. How was it for you coming in and working with the, as you had said earlier, you had met the guys?
Well, really good, to be honest with you. As I see, we're still talking.
That's a good sign.
That was never really a problem for me, to be honest with you. And also, you know, there's been a lot of female actors that have come and gone, Blue Raincoats. So there have been times, you know, like the likes of Shackleton, where it's just like eight guys in a room. But, you know, at this point, I'm kind of used to it. I really...
Good. No, I suppose the reason I ask is that because given the nature of your modus operandi, it's very intense, and it's, you know, it's very physical. You're going to go to places that maybe not every actor would go to in their lifetime. And I'm sure that leads to a huge trust and understanding, which is the basis of it all, really, I suppose.
Well, that's exactly it. And I think a huge part, going back again to why I think Blue Raincoat have sort of survived in the northwest of Ireland for 30 years, you know, the choices of work that, let's say, Niall's the director, you know, choose for the company. There were very few plays, to my memory, bar, you know, a couple of devised pieces that didn't exactly, you know, work out 100%. But a lot of the choices that were made are is the kind of work that kind of really, really interests me personally and the majority of people that were sort of involved with them at the time. So it wasn't about sort of seven guys to one girl. I never really felt that, to be honest, Brendan. You know, it was always about, you know, making good theatre, being in a position, having the privilege of having our own space, having, you know, the time to possibly rehearse a play longer than most companies would, you know.
So how long typically would you spend?
Well, we've been lucky enough, you know, for a brand new piece, for example, we would try and fit in a workshop prior to that. So then we mightn't go into full rehearsal for it because you can't really take the kind of risks. We would know then whether the idea, if you like, was going to be worth, you know, pursuing, if you like, you know. So, and of a rehearsal time, you know, between maybe it varies, you know, depending on the play, but we've worked, sure, you know, 4, 5, 6, or 7, or we've even kind of stretched to 8-week rehearsal, which is kind of unheard of, really, to be honest.
In Ireland, it certainly is. In Europe,
yeah,
now,
exactly. So in that sense, it gives us a lot of time to explore certain ideas, you know, and to make our mistakes, if you like, and then to try and ram in, you know, before an opening night, albeit, you know, there's been times where Malcolm, God bless him, would be writing the end of the play before opening night, you know. Sure. So it's all very much, it can be down to the wire because we're very much, you know, you're kind of, and especially with devised pieces or pieces that Jocelyn Clark has adapted for us, you know, that we would have script and, you know, you'd kind of feel you'd get to a point you'd throw certain material out and then you kind of keep what you feel is needed to put on, you know, an hour or an hour and 20 on stage, you know, or an hour and 10.
Sure. And just talking of the all the productions you did, John, what would you I know you have a piece that you recommend we play here. What would your, it's probably one of your many highlights, what would your highlights be over the years?
Oh, I've got a good couple of, we're going back on to do a play later in the summer. We're going to have to film it given the restrictions in place at the moment, but it's a play called On Ballyastrand. It's a one-act Yeats play, and I've played it since I was about the age of 27, 28, the first time I got to play the fool in On Ballyastrand, and so I've kind of grown up with that as well too, and that's one of a play that has very fond memories from me, and I always love going back to it. The series of Flann O'Briens that we did, which we're going to play a clip for, I chose it because it's basically it's myself and Sandra in this particular clip. Yeah, it's from The Third Policeman.
Yeah.
And it's where McCrushkin and the character Man With No Name are meeting, and McCrushkin is showing her or him, so should say, Sandra plays him, his wonderful invention of his boxes.
It is merely too nice to talk about.
I was 2 years manufacturing it when I was a lad, and it still takes me to the fair.
It is unmentionable.
Very nearly.
I do not often look at boxes or chests, but that is the most beautiful box I have ever seen, and I will always remember it. There might be something inside it.
There might be. I will tell you a little story and give you a synopsis of the ramification of the little plot. When I had the chest made and finished, I tried to think of what I would keep in it and what I would use it for at all. First I thought of them letters from Bridie, the ones on the blue paper with the strong smell. But I did not think it would be anything but a sacrilege in the end, because there were hot bits in them letters. Do you comprehend the trend of my observations?
I do.
Then there was my studs and my enamel badge and my presentation iron pencil with a screw on the end of it to push the point out, an intricate article full of machinery, and a present from Southport. These things are what are called examples of the machine age.
They would be contrary to the spirit of the chest.
They would indeed. Then there was my razor and my spare plate in case I was presented with an accidental bash in the gob in the execution of my duty.
Not them.
Not them. In the end, I found there was only one thing to put myself right with my private conscience. I decided to myself that the only sole correct thing to place in the chest was another chest. Of the same make, but littler in cubic dimension.
That was very competent masterwork. It almost interfered with my breathing. It was so delightfully unmistakable. I got lightly weak from looking at it, and for the purpose of pretending that I was not disturbed, I whistled the old man Twangs's braces.
You may have come on no bicycle, but that does not say you know everything.
And those chests are so like one another that I do not believe that they are there at all.
A clip there from Blue Raincoat's celebrated production of Flann O'Brien's The Third Policeman, featuring our two guests today, Sandra O'Malley and John Carty. So, Sandra, as we said at the start, the ensemble has not just survived but thrived, uniquely so, in Irish theatre. Where to, do you think, for the next 30 years?
Oh, good Lord. onward and upward, we hope, Brendan, to be honest with you, you know, as long
But ye have put together your academy and all this training to make sure that there is a sustained company working in this way.
Yes, you know,
which was also very visionary, of course.
Indeed. You know, we've a few things for ourselves as well, you know, that may not necessarily, like, for example, I'm researching a new play with a girl that is going to write it. It will be a Blue Raincoat production for next year, all going well. So let's say when we're not rehearsing a play necessarily, you know, in real time here in the company, you know, we've plenty to be getting on with, you know?
Sure. And John, part of that is next month in May. You might tell us about your voice and movement workshops.
Well, the voice and movement, I'm actually just had my last one participant, and both workshops are filled now, thankfully. Right. Which was great. So there's a voice workshop online this year for the first time. A voice workshop of 2-day workshop and a 5-day movement workshop with Corinne Soom and Steve Watson, who were the last assistants of Etienne de Crewe, who formed Modern Corporal Mime. So we're very privileged to be working with them again. And then in June, we were going to go on live with on Bolia Strand, which is a one act Yeats play on a beach. We've done this before, but we're going to do it again. And we were going to do a production of Shadow of the Glen by John Millington Synge. And both of them will be filmed this time. So we're going to have a go at that, which we look forward to that.
So
and
another new exciting development for Blue Ring.
Yeah, and they'll be online at some stage in the game, exactly. Right. And then late June and July, we'll go into workshops for a project called Hunting Darwin, which is a story of about three scientists that were part of the Scott expedition.
John Carty and Sandra O'Malley of Blue Raincoat Theatre Company, congratulations on a celebration of your 30 years in existence and the success you've had, and many more years and successes to come.
Thanks very much, Brendan. May I just one last thing is that also the archive of Blue Raincoat's archive is currently viewable if you go onto the website or onto the Facebook page. The different shows are being archived, and various actors are being interviewed about past shows, and it's a very interesting way to see past shows.
Great. Yeah. That's BlueRaincoat.com.
Thanks so much, Brendan. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Brendan.
Bye-bye. Cheers.
It's great to have Maeve McGowan on the line again from the Hawkswell. I hope you had a nice Easter, Maeve. Maeve,
certainly did, Brendan.
Your programme for April.
Yes, so in April we are running 4 more of our online workshops, Brendan, because they were so popular throughout the lockdown. We've run a good few of them since last September, and again in January we had more workshops running. So we're back with 4 of our popular workshops, and they're running for 6 weeks from Monday 12th of April, Tuesday 13th and Wednesday the 14th. So there's a chance to try your hand at comedy writing with John Cleary over the 6 weeks, or to learn Bowron with John Joe Kelly, improve your traditional Irish fiddle playing or whatever instrument you play with Oisín MacDiarmida, or to try traditional song with Cathy Jordan.
And so Cathy Jordan's on a Wednesday, Oisín MacDiarmida's on Tuesday nights, and then the Bower On with John Joe Kelly and the comedy with John Cleary are on Monday nights. Well done. Congratulations. It's been great. It's been such a success. And then your Sligo Through Words and Music.
Yeah, so Sligo Through Words and Music is a show that we have put together, a stream show, which you can watch by buying a ticket like you normally would through our website, and then you can sit back and watch the show online. And it's running from Friday, 16th of April, for a week. And this is part of a programme we ran there from Valentine's Day right up to St. Patrick's Day, where we were sharing words and music from Sligo. So from a variety of artists who've written songs and poems and spoken word all about Sligo. So what we've done is, there was a great reaction to those individual pieces when we put them up online via Facebook. So we've put them together as a stream show that you can sit back and watch over the course of an hour. You'll see performances from No Crows, a song that Steve Wickham wrote, performances from Shamie O'Dowd, Niamh Crowley, Eddie Lee, Kieran Quinn, loads of musicians, and then also loads of writers, such as theatre artists such as Bob Kelly. Niamh McGrath provides a brilliant comedy sketch, Miriam Needham. And then local writers Louise Kennedy, Etna Hand, Jessamine O'Connor, and emerging writer Wasakira.
Fantastic. And it's amazing when you go through all the people you have involved there, the wealth of talent and creativity that is, you know, just in the immediate environs of the Hawkswell. Well done. It's
absolutely
brilliant. Well, every success with that. And then From Our Home to Yours, which runs in the last week of April.
Yeah, so again, this was something that we were focusing on throughout February and March, where we asked a few of our creative bubbles, families in Sligo, to perform for us. And we put these performances out on Facebook. And again, there was a great reaction. So we've put three of these together. And we've interviewed the families as well about life in Sligo and about music and what it means to them. So these three families, their performances and their interviews can be seen as part of a stream show running from Friday, the 23rd of April. So the families involved are Shamie O'Dowd and his sons Rory and Stephen, Niamh Crowley with her children and her husband Robert Fitzpatrick, also is involved in performing in the show. And then Michael Rooney and June McCormack, who performed together as Dríocht. So I think it's a lovely show because we're
lovely
getting
idea.
To hear from the performers as well, what Sligo means to them, what performing means to them, and then hear their 12 to 15 minute performance.
Brilliant, so, brilliant. Well, look, as ever, another great month of entertainment through the Hawkswell. You get all the details on hawkswell.com. Well done, Maeve. You're certainly keeping her lit and pushing out the boat. And because I know there's obviously, like us all, there's plenty of work going on in the background to make sure we're all ready for reopening, hopefully in the autumn. And every success with all that. So you'll get details of all that at hawkswell.com. Maeve, many thanks. We'll talk to you again maybe next month, see how things are for May. I've no doubt
Lovely.
You'll be exciting us again.
I hope so. Thanks so much, Brendan.
Cheers, Maeve.
Take care.
That's it for this week. Aguine Ushla, Wemsha Brendan Murray, Wargate Slán. Thanks to Mark Gavin on sound. And thanks to our guests again from Blue Raincoat Theatre Company, John Carty and Sandra O'Malley. Thanks also to Pubble, the Arts Council and Leitrim County Council. This show will be repeated on Sunday at 8 p.m. and is also available on all podcast platforms or through Ocean FM.